Father, I just thank you and I praise you. I give you honor and I give you glory. You are the true King, Father, and we just thank you with all of our hearts that you love us so desperately and so completely that you gave your Son Jesus for us. I'm asking this morning, Father God, that you come down into our midst and you do the works that needs to be done within each and every one of our hearts. Father God, we thank you for your angelic host. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that we need so desperately, or we don't accomplish anything. We thank you for the blood of your Son, Jesus. And God, there are people in here this morning who are struggling, who have issues that they need you to come in, touch them, change them, and rearrange them. And Father, I'm believing for that to happen this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if we don't believe that God's going to change things, then what are we doing? And that is the problem. People aren't really, they say they believe God's going to do it, but they don't. And they're trying to do it all by themselves. And you can't do this walk by yourself. You can't do it with your friend that sits next to you either. This walk has to be with you and God, period. You know, your friend can't come and change your heart, but God can. And this is what God has been trying to do. He's been trying to change our hearts to be totally and completely submitted to him, 100%, and never looking back at what we left. Right? God's been dealing with me about the narrow road and the wide road, and that's why you have, usually your bulletin front is what God deals with me about during the week. And the bulletin front is about the narrow road and the wide road. And there's too many people think that they can stay on the wide road and make it to heaven, and that's not true. Not true, not one iota truth in that. You have to get the narrow road, stay on that narrow road, live a holy life, become righteous, or you're just not going to make heaven your home. It's just, you know, it's a mess right now. And ever since God called me into the ministry, he's always had me teach repentance. And it's amazing how people don't repent. They have lip service, but nothing ever comes from their heart. I was thinking about Peter. Remember how Peter was? He was always a mess. And you know, and God, Jesus was always rebuking him about one thing or another. And Peter said, "I'll never deny you." But he did. And he went and he wept, bitterly wept. And from that point on, Jesus was truly a child of God. He didn't complain anymore. He just did what he had to do to get souls saved. In prison, out of prison, you know, beaten, hiding, whatever. But he wasn't going to leave Jesus. He became a true rock. And see, we aren't like this. You know, what really bothers me with Christians is they say, well, you know, I love God and, you know, and I'm this and I'm that and the other. But let somebody cross their path. Can't they get the cop the biggest attitude you ever wanted to see in a heartbeat? Now, what happened to all this Jesus you had in you? You know, and that really bothers me. And I see it a lot in the house of God. I think, why are you doing that? I thought you were a child of God. And here comes this attitude. Boom. And then it stays there. You can see the biggest Jezebel pop up in those people's faces that you ever wanted to see. There's Jezebel sitting on her throne. How dare you in any way, shape, or form come against what I'm thinking or saying or whatever. I just want you to think about this. How do you react to things? because really this is a very serious time in our walk with God. I want to ask you something. How many of you have found yourselves weeping for no reason at all in the last 6 months? Just all of a sudden, you just start crying. You think, what's wrong with me? All right. Well, this morning, we're going to look at why this is happening. All right. Now, remember that we're going to read about the straight, the narrow road and the wide road. So remember that. What's happening here is that the church is dying. And what are we weeping for? The dying church. All right, now let's just look at some scriptures here. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1 says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, the priest who ran Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, that's who he was. Then verse 4 says, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. This is what God said. I'm like, you listen to this. Before I formed you in the womb, who formed you in the womb? He said, I knew you. Before you were ever in your mother's womb, God says here, he knew you. Then he says, before you were born, I sanctified you. Not after you were born, but while you were in the womb, he sanctified you. Then he's talking to Jeremiah. He said, I ordained you a prophet to the nations in the womb. So guys, when God gives you a word, you should feel the Holy Spirit all over you right now. When God gives you a word of what you're going to be, this was already happening before he placed a seed in your womb. And I read Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1, then 4 through 19. I really need you to get that in your spirit right now. This just didn't happen after you were born, 20 years after you were sinning. This was your original calling in life. Some of you act like it just popped out of the wall somewhere. No, it did not. Verse 6, Jeremiah speaking, then said I, oh Lord God, behold, I cannot speak for I am a youth. So here we go. Let's make excuses why we can't do what God wants us to do. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth. What did he say to Moses? Don't tell me you stutter. I already know you stutter. Don't tell me you were an alcoholic. I already knew you were an alcoholic whenever I called you. Are you listening to this? But the Lord said to Jeremiah, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. See, this is God said, this is what you're going to do. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. He was a prophet. And God said, whatever I command you, you're going to speak through your lips. You are the vessel I'm going to use to minister to the people. Then God says to Jeremiah, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. But you know, you have to get back to verse 8, because I'm going to tell you right now, if you guys are really serious with your walk with God, and if you really want God to use you, the people are going to get up in your face. They're going to tell you you're the devil. They're going to tell you God isn't anywhere around you. And they're going to tell you all kind of junk. But what did God say? Do not be afraid of their faces. Jeremiah was a true prophet. God said, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms. Why? To root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Now, I've been reading a lot where they said if a prophet speaks anything negative, they are not a true prophet. Why is the church bound up? Because prophets are just saying words that satisfy the tickle the people's ears. We cannot do this any longer, saints. This church doesn't do that, and that's why you don't see us in a big multi-million dollar building. People do not want to hear the truth. Verse 11 says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. This is today, saints. God is ready to perform his word. And the word of the Lord came to me the second time saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot, and it is facing away from the north. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north, calamity shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. God said, there's going to be war. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord. They shall come, and each one set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls all around, and against all the cities of Judea. In other words, he said, they're going to be surrounded by their enemy. Verse 16, God said, I will utter my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshiped the works of their own hands. Why is God going to allow this war to come against him? He just tells you right there, because you forsook God. Why are you having so many problems in your home? I mean, in your life, it could be a lot of things. But just maybe it's because you have forsaken God. And you're worshiping other idols. Now, I'm not saying that's your problem, but we need to think. We need to really dig deep down into our spirit. Who are we really, and what are we really doing? I don't want any of you to go to hell. I've been there 3 times. You don't want to go to hell, I promise you. It's better to get the narrow road than the wide road. All right, verse 13. Therefore, God said, therefore, prepare yourself and arise, and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. You know, if you're going to back down from them, then God's going to get on you. You see this? So today he said here, prepare yourself, arise. So God wants you guys to prepare yourself in your heart this morning and arise a new person. Arise in new strength, a new might, and a new power to tear down the kingdom of darkness. Yes. The church is not tearing down the kingdom of darkness. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city, talking to Jeremiah. I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. God's going to use Jeremiah to mess these people up. Come on. You want to be a prophet of God? Well, get ready to be come against, because God's going to use your lips to mess people up. He's going to use your lips to mess the churches up, pastors up, and they're not going to like you. All right. And verse 19 says, God said, they will fight against you. See that? But look what else he says, but they shall not prevail against you. Why? For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. I've been at this for quite some time, guys. I'm going to tell you, I have been here. The churches have fought against me. The pastors have fought against me, but I did not back down, and God has prevailed and God has kept me. And a lot of you in here love me so desperately that you keep me up, you pray for me, hold me up before the Lord, and the enemy has no way to get around to me. You know, get into me, I should say. God told me, he said, people all over the world know your name and are praying for you. If you're a true child of God and you're really doing what God's calling you to do, you are protected whether you know it or not. And God is keeping you safe. All right, so Jeremiah, known as a weeping prophet, we talked about why are we weeping. Jeremiah, known as a weeping prophet, was a prophet to the southern kingdom of Judah in the Old Testament, right before Judah ultimately fell to Babylon and was led away into captivity. God appointed Jeremiah as a prophet to deliver the exact words of a message he had spoken to him to the nation of Israel. The very same thing that Jeremiah was speaking then, he'd already spoken to Israel. So see, this, the very same words God spoke then are still being spoken by God's true people. And anything else you hear, You really need to take it to the Father, because there's a whole lot of prophetic words going out there that aren't accurate. All right? I don't know about you, but I have a fear of the Lord. And I sure don't want to be out there saying something he's not saying. And, you know, and I always say, if you're messed up, don't prophesy to anybody. Because what the devil's already in you, because you're messed up, then you go to prophesying to people, he's going to use your voice to twist things in people. And the people that are members of this church, they know that I teach them that. And if I see them twisting, I make them sit down. Isn't that what I do? I make them sit down until they're right. Because nobody's going to leave this church and say a false prophet is in there. And you don't need to be messing up somebody. We already have enough mess ups in the world. We don't need to go in the body of Christ and have a prophet mess us up all the more. We've had people that didn't want to hear the word. Why? Because the word was a truth, and they weren't ready yet to receive the truth. So they just said, that's not God. All right, Jeremiah. Okay, I said, God sent Jeremiah to a crumbling nation to warn of their impending demise, a warning they didn't heed. America has not been heeding the words of the true prophets. Years ago, God said, daughter, the false prophets are on the scene. Be a fruit inspector, inspect every prophet's fruit. Jeremiah 13, 16 and 17 says, give glory to the Lord your God before he causes darkness, and before your feet stumble on the dark mountains, and while you're looking for light, he turns it into the shadow of death and makes it dense darkness. Right now, we should be looking to the Lord. We should be seeking God with all of our hearts. We should be asking him for instruction on how we should live each and every day. Verse 17 says, but if you will not hear it, my soul will weep in secret for your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly and run down with tears. Why? Because the Lord's flock has been taken captive. Why are we weeping? For the flock that has been taken captive. Are you listening? There are a lot of you in here, and even at the sound of my voice, you are around other Christians that you know that they are not walking with God the way they ought. And you need to be seeking God's face on how you need to handle it. Don't just go out there in your flesh and try to handle it. Ask God, how do you want me to proceed with this person? He might tell you to be still. He might give you a prophetic word for them, whatever. But make sure you're being led by the Spirit of God. And Jeremiah 2:13 says, for my people have committed two evils. This is God speaking. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me. I'm going to tell you about the cisterns in a minute. And they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. We always say, well, we have living waters living inside of us, but do you? If you've forsaken God, do you still have those living waters? I wouldn't go around bragging about something I might not have. I would be searching God's face with everything in me. God, I do this. I do this all the time. There's not a day doesn't go by that I don't check myself to make sure I'm walking with God. All right, the book of Jeremiah is about punishment, unfaithfulness, and authority. Punishment, unfaithfulness, and authority. The authority of God is at the heart of the book of Jeremiah. The message, submit to God's authority and live. That's what Jeremiah is all about. Submit to God's authority and live. God wants you to submit yourself 100% to him today. And when you do, you'll live. You'll have life everlasting. You will have peace and harmony where you never had total and complete peace and harmony. This is so serious this morning, saints. I hope you take this right down into the very core of your spirit, man, and digest it and talk to God about it. Your life might be on the line. I don't know. And I'm not even going to say it is or is not. That's up to you to find out. That's up to you to get into the presence of God. And if you know you're not living 100% for God, then get into the presence of God and repent. And then when you repent, don't go back to where you came from. Keep moving forward. All right, God was reaching out in his infinite love and mercy to help his people because they had turned away from him. And unless they repented, they were going to experience very severe consequences. That's us. Have you been watching California? My Lord, can anything worse happen to California? Because I said, God, why? And he said, they still haven't repented. Come on, saints. You need to have a close relationship to your Father so that he can tell you why these things are going on, maybe even in your own home. God, why is this going on when I'm falling with all my heart? He'll tell you. You have a Father who loves you. You have a Father who's there for you, I don't care, 24/7. He never slumbers or sleeps, so you can talk to him anytime you feel like it. Amen? All right, Jesus wept, or so here Jeremiah wept over these people there. Now, and Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Here we come another, Jesus was a prophet. All right, Luke 19:41-44. Now, as Jesus drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. He was drawn near to Jerusalem, saying, if you had known, even you especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave you one stone upon another. Why? Because you did not know the time of your visitation. God is getting ready to visit us one by one. He's using this day to warn you that you need to get your, I'm hearing him say act, so I'm going to say your act together. It's better that this, better that you fall on the stone than the stone fall on you. Isn't that what the word says? It's better for you to go to God and tell him the truth. God, I'm so sorry. All right. Jesus wept over Jerusalem, and then he spoke of the destruction that was coming upon them. The very same thing is happening in the closing days of this age. Jesus has been weeping over America, and God is sending a prophetic message to America. But has America heard it? Has America heard it? And it is repent. Live holy and righteous. It's not happening in the churches. So that's why it's not happening on the streets. You know, God's been shaking the church for quite some time now. And Chuck Pierce, one of them, said God told them this is the last shaking. He's given the churches one last time, and then he's going to depart from. You know, if you're saying that you love the Father, then you're the church, right? God's visiting you one last time, and he's warning you, you need to get it together or forever be lost. Matthew 7, you know, okay, let's just say, this really relates to Samson. Remember Samson, how he did everything he shouldn't do, really. But he'd get up and shake his hair, and he still had his strength, so he went on, you know, and he's just real cocky about it, and God's still with me. And then one day he get up and shake his hair, and he had no strength because he had no hair. And then his enemies captured him, gouged out his eyes, put him in prison, made fun of him. The church is like that. We're at that point right now. We've been shaking ourselves too many times. Next time you shake yourself, God might not be anywhere near you. Are you listening? I read an article about this woman who, she was a model or something, but anyhow, she died. And you went to heaven and came back. She said, I won't wear any more low-cut tops that entice men. I won't wear, you know, these tight, these skin pants you guys wear. She won't wear them. She said, because God showed her all that is a woman enticing men. And then she went on with what God showed her, and her whole life has changed. And she was a beautiful person, had a nice figure. But she met the Maker. You know, when you die, you might not come back. But God sent her back with a message. You might not be strong enough. God can send you back for a message. You just might go to hell. I hope this does scare you. You know, one time that a pastor in this area said, Barbara, people love you, but you just preach too hard. He said, you even discourage them from even following God. No, I don't, because I preach the word. I don't discourage anybody. You know, God uses me to give you the message. Now, what are you doing with the words he's given you? And if you're not in sin, what are you worried about? You know, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Jesus said, heaven can be entered only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gates is wide enough for all the multitudes who choose its easy way. And you know, hell was never meant for us. It was only meant for Satan and his fallen angels. But because the people in the church kept sinning, it keeps enlarging. But the gateway to life is small, and the road is narrow, and only a few ever find it. And I'm going to share with you something right now. You know, when I first started, it was about 7 years into my ministry, I was praying with my praise and worship leader, and God spoke to her and said, you know, she was having a hard time staying where she should be, and God spoke to her and said, the way is broad. Enter into it. And I said, God, I said to her, because she was a prophet too, I said, that's not even scriptural. Then you know what God said? When you enter into the narrow and follow me, it becomes broad. But you have to enter into the narrow. You have to get the sin out of your life. And then you're free, because you're not going to give in. Don't you feel the Spirit of God? Then you won't give in to the flesh and sin anymore. I was sure glad he explained that to both of us, because I knew that wasn't scriptural. All right, God is sending this prophetic message of Matthew 7:13 that we just read to a generation of people in churches who have become very lost and blind because of insisting on following their own easy and comfortable ways instead of following his way. What about 5 years, 6 years ago, said religion is out of the picture? It is by the Spirit only. Spirit is calling the Spirit. I'm not going to honor religion at all. Do you know how many religious people sit in the house of God? You might be one of them. You know, you're only saved by your lip service only. Now, please don't get offended. You know, the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, forget about it. Just take the message to somebody else. Have you become comfortable in the easy way? You know how many pastors preach that you can, once saved, always saved? False. God said you have to work out your salvation how? Daily. And you know how many pastors say, just to keep you in the church so they have a head and get a tithing? Oh, that's okay. Just repent. Just go on. They do the same thing over and over. No, that's not okay with God. No, it isn't. You can't continue to do that. God is sending his message to provide the guidance and help people in churches urgently need to help them return to following his way that leads to life instead of continuing to follow the easy ways they have devised, which are leading masses of people toward eternal death. I don't know about you, Barbara, but it would be so much easier for me if I just went ahead and did the easy way. You know, the comfortable way, we can't do that. We are children of God and we have to go the narrow way, the hard way. Jesus went the hard way. Paul went the hard way. Paul, you know, he's awesome. This man had prestige, you know, he had everything he wanted. You know, he was free, and you know, and then God knocked him off his donkey. And he became born again, and then he spent most of his time in prison, being beat. But in prison, he was writing encouraging words to the churches. He wouldn't say, oh, feel sorry for me. Make sure you come down and see that I get fed well today. See if you can't get me out of these chains. No, he was happy. He was singing praises to God. He thought it was wonderful to suffer for Christ. You know, the church is dumb. You're suffering with the devil. You know, he's leading you straight into hell. And, you know, so if you're going to suffer the devil, why not suffer for God's sake and go to heaven? Think about this. All right, we are living in a dispensation of time by Isaiah 5, 14 through 20. Hell is licking its chops in anticipation of this delicious morsel, Jerusalem. You read above that, they're going to be attacked. Her great and small shall be swallowed up, and all her drunken throngs. In that day the haughty shall be brought down to the dust, the proud shall be humbled. But the Lord Almighty is exalted above all, for he alone is holy, just, and good. See, whenever he said up here in Isaiah 5:14, hell is licking his chops in anticipation of you. He can't wait to get a hold of you so he can take you to hell and torment you. And then especially if you were out there doing his work, and then one day you say, well, I think I'll try God. So you tried God for a season. Now you say, well, I'll go back to Satan. Boy, you're in a lot of trouble because you're going to be tormented worse than anybody. Are you listening? Verse 16, but the Lord Almighty is exalted above all, for he alone is holy, just, and good. In those days, flocks will feed among the ruins, lambs and calves and kids will pasture there. Woe to those who drag their sins behind them like a bullock on a rope. How many people have you heard God prophesy to, give me that weight that you carry? And that's exactly what he's talking about. Woe to those who drag their sins behind them. They will not give up that sin. They will not give up that heavy yoke that's across their shoulders. They like it. If you didn't like it, Satan can't stay there. That is the truth. They even mock the Holy One of Israel and dare the Lord to punish them. Hurry up and punish us, O Lord, they say. We want to see what you can do. I've heard that so many times from when I'm working with drug addicts. I like taking bop them in the nose, you know. Well, if God's going to do all that, we go ahead. Here I am. God, punish me. I like to hit him for God, you know. All right, verse 20 says, they say that what is right is wrong. We know this. And what is wrong is right, that black is white and white is black, bitter is sweet, and sweet is bitter. This is what's going on today. If you watch anything that's going on in the courts, anybody that's done a really bad thing, they get off. The ones that don't do anything or hardly anything, there's 15, 20 years in prison. You know, if right is wrong, yes, and I'm really upset about what's going on with abortion again. It's ridiculous. And you wonder why America's going through the mess they're going through. God told me, he said, when he's through with America, you won't be able to recognize it. He said, I'm going to get their attention, but you won't be able to recognize America. I want a show of hands. How many of you in here are really a prophet? A true prophet? How are you living? How are you living? Check yourself. How are you living? I'm just going to give this little testimony right here. You know, I've been preaching about love your enemies, all right? Well, I'm in contact with somebody that has lied to me. I'm tired. I don't want no more lies. I don't want to look at the person. I pray for their salvation, but that person lives in my home. And I said the other day, I hate him. This is what I said. I'm being honest. I hate him and I can't stand him. I don't want to hear his voice. I don't want to see his face ever again. Because I had to bring him back into my home. And then Gabriel said, I don't ever want to hear you preach about love your enemies. I said, God and I'll take care of that. I said, right now, because he had just come back into my home, right now, this is where I'm at. Now I got to put up this mess all over again. But I repented, and I'm in good standing with God. Each one of you might come to that place at one time or other in your life. Don't allow it to destroy you. Sometimes you have to get the honest, you have to get the truth out of you. Instead of keep pushing it down and pushing it down, you have to say, this is where I'm at right now. And get it out there, guys, so God can take care of it. In our deliverances, we find out that a lot of people, am I right, what they have done is suppress things until they're totally bound.
Yes.
One of my boys says something about they couldn't cry. This is months ago. I said, you cry.
Right.
Men need to cry.
Yes.
You know, they're seeing we suppress that junk, and then next thing you know, we're bound and we can't operate. Let's just get real with the Word of God. Let's get real with life, and let's do what God wants us to do, and that's to serve Him only and live a holy life and bring in this great harvest. In Joel chapter 2, verse 12 says, that is why the Lord says, turn to me now, right now, He means today, while there is time, period. Give me all your hearts, period. Come with fasting, weeping, and praying. I mean, a morning. We're going on a 40-day fast, church. Don't come to me. I don't care how you fast. I want you to go on a 40. God said He wants us on a 40-day fast. Now, if you don't belong to church, you don't have to do that. But the Lighthouse is going to do that. And that's all. I don't want to hear no emails or no nothing. All right, verse 13. Let your remorse tear at your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful. He is not easily angered. He is full of kindness and anxious not to punish you. Who knows? Perhaps even yet He will decide to let you alone and give you a blessing instead of His terrible curse. Perhaps He will give you so much that, in other words, that terrible curse has taken you to the woodshed. How many of you have not been to the woodshed? Thank you for not lying. Amen. Who knows? Perhaps even yet He will decide to let you alone and give you a blessing instead of His terrible curse. Perhaps He will give you so much that you can offer your grain and wine to the Lord as before. Sound the trumpet in Zion. Call a fast and gather all the people together for a solemn assembly. Bring everyone, the elders, the children, and even the babies. Call the bridegroom from his quarters and the bride from her privacy. The priests and ministers of God will stand between the people and the altar, doing what? Weeping. And they will pray, spare your people, O our God. Don't let the heathen rule them, for they belong to you. Don't let them be disgraced by the taunts of the heathen who say, where is this God of theirs? How weak and helpless He must be. Then the Lord will pity His people and be indignant for the honor of His land. Today, God is calling you and I to live a holy, righteous life. He's called, like He said in verse 17, the people, let me see, between the people and the altar weeping. God's been having us weep for the church, for the nations. He wants us to continue to do that for the next 40 days. Because He's getting ready to move in His magnificent, mighty way that only He can move. This is what I'm hearing. Those of you who have been living in torment, I can remove all torment when you're ready to give it to me. You're deceiving yourself and those around about you because you're not ready yet to be free from the baggage that you're familiar with. Now, if you're really serious about this harvest out there, You will fast and pray for the next 40 days, however you want to, because you want to see that harvest come in. God is calling for repentance. Repentance needs to begin. This is what God said. I'm sorry. Repentance needs to begin in my house and among those in leadership positions who have turned away from me. Do you know there's some church, big church is going to fall real soon? God's tired. He's so tired. You know, I don't know which church fell, one of the leaders fell in the church, but somebody started writing on YouTube. I don't read YouTube, I just, when I'm looking at songs, I have to see something over there. But it says, don't listen to any of their music. Why cause everybody else to suffer because one man sinned? Well, you know, he didn't, you know, that didn't taint the music. But why, this was another church leader saying it. Why would you do that? We're supposed to be praying for one another, not kicking each other when we're down. Yeah, and it's just, it's twisted, but God's also saying, you're going to want my grace one day. So whatever grace you show to that one, I'm going to show to you. Do you show grace? If you didn't, you don't get no grace. Okay, repentance needs to begin in my house and among those in leadership positions who have turned away from me and who are following their own easy ways that lead to death instead of following my way, which is the only way that leads to life. If you're a leader and you're in sin, either get out of your sin or quit being a leader. You are going to be chastised by God so greatly. God is using us as weeping prophets to weep for the souls of the lost, weep for America in its hardness of heart that is allowing all the destruction to continue across the land. And this is another warning God gives us. Beware of false teachers who come disguised and harmless as harmless sheep, but are wolves and will tear you apart. Guys, let's go see what the prophet has to say. No, check the prophet out. Check the prophet's fruit before you go running and have them speak words into your life that are not from God. I'm quite sure a lot of you have run into false prophets. I have. And, you know, and I won't let a lot of people, I don't like people praying for me because I don't know where their hands have been. And I don't want that mess on me or in me. You know, so, you know, why is it hard for you to say, I don't want you to pray for me? There's nothing wrong with that. I've had people say that to me, and I said, fine, and I walk on. I know my hands are clean, but for some reason, they don't want me to do that. You know, why I don't get upset about it. I don't tell them they can't come to the church or they're heathen or anything else. That's their privilege. All right? Don't become a false prophet just so people like you. What did Jesus say in John 15:18? If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. If you're truly walking with God 100%, they're going to hate you. But you always have to, you see, God gave me this scripture years and years ago. I couldn't figure out why the church was, leaders were coming against me. And God gave me this scripture, and I sort of live by this scripture, and you should too. If they hate you, and you know, if you know you're a true child of God, and they hate you, that means you're of God's. All right, that's one test that you can apply to yourself. So, last shaking. Are you going to allow God to shake all this junk out of you? There's no more excuses, guys. I'm sorry, the Word of God says that God makes a way of escape for everything that you go through. If each one of us wrote a book, we'd be totally amazed what each one of us has actually lived. Then you would think, sometimes I think, wow, I'm not going through anything after listening to all this. You know, You know, when the guy that ministers, he has no arms and no legs, but he's out there ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ and no arms and no legs. And we have all of our body parts. Oh, my, oh, me. And he doesn't do that. He is very positive. And he gets upset with you if you sit and complain. Are you ready, really ready to serve God 100%? Letting go of all the junk that you keep carrying around that you can't change. Then God's ready to receive you in a new way this morning. And the altar's open for that.